The gift of teaching is what we're looking at today, and I'd like to have a word of prayer and ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, we learn from you ultimately. We can hear words, we can hear a speech, but it's only words and it's only a speech until it becomes part of our heart. Holy Spirit, you're the only one who can do that. Take your truth this day and etch it upon each one of our hearts and lives. From the day we are born again until the day we go to heaven, we grow by the feeding on your word, the sincere milk of the word, the meat of the word, and so much of it comes through us to us through teaching. For this time that we have together, Father, may your Holy Spirit move among us and upon our hearts. May we listen with a fresh ear. May we receive with a fresh heart. And may we respond with a bent knee and a broken heart and a wet eye, and follow you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what is the gift of teaching? In Romans 12:7, if you have the gift of teaching, you are to teach. The Greek word is didasko. It means systematic training. Systematic training. It is a repetitive, systematic building upon. Can you hold your place in Romans 12? Actually, we're just going to journey on from here. So just get on the Bible bus. And turn in your Bible to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8. While you're looking for it, I'm reminded of what D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said once. He said that very few congregations realize their place in the preaching of the Word. So I'll pass it on to you. What he said was that the way the people listen has a huge effect on the person teaching. The way the people listen. And that's true. Because we are here not to hear from a man, but to hear from God. So as we talk about teaching, you think about how you listen. Because as you come to church and you listen, you can help the person teaching by the way you listen. There's a devil. There are holy angels. There's spiritual warfare all around us. He may focus all of his attention on the preacher on given days. The way you listen can make the difference between God winning the day and the devil winning the day. So we're all actively a part of this. Here in Nehemiah, the people had been backsliding and God had chastened them. Now they have returned together and rebuild the temple. And Ezra brings out the word of God. Ezra opened the book. Now watch the response of the people. And all the people could see him because, in Nehemiah 8:5, he was standing above them. And as he opened up the word of God, what does it say? They stood. And Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands, and they responded. So as the word of God came forward, they responded with worship, saying, Amen, Amen. And then they bowed down and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And now here's all the people that got involved teaching, the Levites, all these different names. And it says in verse 7, they instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. And they read from the book. If you're called by God to teach, you're called by God to teach the Word of God. It's the Word that's the issue. Because that is where God speaks. If you're called to teach, you're called to teach the Word of God. And you're not to supplement it and replace it with a lot of other junk. And junk is the right word. So they read from the book, the law of God, making it clearer and giving the meaning, which, may I say, is the hardest part of teaching. Making it clear and giving the meaning. So the people could understand what was read. Now, if you have this gift, it is a gift of the Holy Spirit and it's supernatural. It's different than if you are, right now in your life, a teacher in a school. It's different than a math teacher. It's different than an English teacher. It's different than a tennis teacher. This is something that God gifts you with supernaturally so that in the end, when you approach the Bible, because of this gift, it hits you differently than the average person. So that you are given the ability to understand, to embrace, which means make it a part of you, and then rightly divide into portions and segments in such a way that you can communicate the Word of God more effectively than the average person. That's it. You're able to understand, embrace, and rightly divide and communicate the Word of God more effectively than the average person. And that difference that makes the difference is the Holy Spirit. It is a spiritual gift. It's the kind of thing that is manifested again and again as you sit in church. I mean, how many times have you been sitting in church and you're sitting there and you're in a text and you're reading along through the text and you think all of a sudden, I never saw that. I've been reading over John 3:16 for years and I never saw that. Well, the difference is this. The reason you see it now is because the one teaching you is supernaturally enabled by God to see and to explain. And once you see it, and once it's explained, and it's done by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it stays with you. So that the difference between someone who is truly gifted to teach and someone who just teaches but doesn't have the gift is that it stays with you, it impacts you, and it unfolds to you what you didn't see before on your own. Sometimes people get condemned in their own reading. They'll say, my own private reading has become dry. And then they'll come to church and God will really speak to them. They'll say, why don't I see the things you see when I read alone? The difference is the gift of teaching. God has given the gift, he says, to build up the church. It is a very important gift. It's one that all of our lives revolve around. One that needs to be prayed for if you're listening to it. One that needs to be prayed over if you have it. But it touches all of us. The difference between teaching and prophecy. If you were with us on the prophecy message, what is that? Well, the gift of prophecy is to take the Word of God and speak it in front of people. It's basically a one-shot presentation like John the Baptist was. He took pre-written revelation and he was the forerunner of Jesus. And he did not do systematic teaching. That's the difference. One shot versus systematic. The gift of teaching is a message that has an ongoing element to it. It's Isaiah 28:10. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So that it's systematic. It's going forward. It's building on what was there before in an ever-increasing, revealing way so that more of God is being revealed in the life. And if it's an anointed gift, the message stays with you. I can think right now, just pulling at random, driving in my car, listening to Pastor Chuck Smith teaching in the Gospel of John, and I can hear these words. For we are disturbed, but we are not distressed. Now, I listened to that tape about 8 years ago. The words are still there. I can grab them right now. Why? Because of the anointing. A lot of people today have the idea that anybody that wants to can start a church and be a pastor and teach. That's kind of in vogue these days. And very often you have someone with the desire to have a church, be a pastor, whatever, but do they have the calling and do they have the anointing? And the way to tell is when you listen, what happens to you, and long after it's been taught, is it still with you? For we are disturbed, but we are not distressed. God works in our lives. But we are never distressed because we always hope in God. That was the message Chuck gave. So that the difference is the Holy Spirit anointing the message. Otherwise, it's just a book report from the Bible. It's just a speech. Very often I run into people that they'll say, I go to such and such a church, and I'll say, and how's the teaching? And whenever I hear this comment, my ears go up. Well, he's a great communicator. I know immediately he doesn't teach the Bible. How's your pastor teaching? He's a great communicator. Every time I hear that, I immediately, guy doesn't teach the Bible. How's your pastor's teaching? Man, we learn the Word, and I have come to know God in that place. I know this about God. I know that about God. I've seen Him work this way in my life. And then they start firing off verses at me. Then you know they're listening to someone who's anointed and called and gifted to teach. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. A.W. Tozer used to say, listen to none except those who listen to God. And those that are anointed to teach are listening to God because He's anointed them to hear. Now, God gives this gift to you, to you, to you, to you. He hands it out on different levels so that some will be called to teach adults and some will be called to teach children. You need to realize some will be called as missionaries to teach and will teach small groups. All of us that receive the gift will in the end use it in a different way. The issue is that we are filled with the Spirit and we do use it and we do cultivate it. We do use it God's way. And I want to say that if God calls you to teach children, do not discount that reality. Let me tell you why. I've talked to so many people in my Christian life that tell me they came to Christ through the ministry of their, quote, Sunday school teacher, their children's church teacher. And they can tell me things they learned from them that brought them to Christ. What is the difference in you teaching children and others like myself that teach adults? The difference with me is the damage is already done. I'm speaking to a damaged audience. The difference with those of you that teach children is the damage hasn't been done yet, and you have the power within your giftedness to save them from the damage. There's no nobler or higher call in all of life than that. If God calls you to teach in the children's church, it is the noblest thing you can do to save a life from the grip of Satan and the damage of sin before it ever occurs. I remember reading about a soldier in war who was dying on the battlefield, and he said to his buddy who was there, can you please make sure that you get a hold of this one person back in America? This person was my Sunday school teacher. He brought me to Christ when I was a kid. I want him to know I died with Christ on this battlefield. See, God will give the gift, and He will give it to you and different ones of you to use on different levels in different ways. But oh my, when it's used, however He gives it, it brings glory to Him and people come to know Him. Because in the end, what the gift of teaching is a supernatural ability to frame doctrine in the minds and hearts of God's people. Doctrine being the truth about God. It is a supernatural ability to implant God in the minds and the hearts of His people. It is the supernatural ability to enable God's people to think in a solid, sane, godly, God-like way. Because in the end, what you're doing when you're teaching, if you teach the Word of God, is you are simply giving God a voice. God has revealed Himself in His Word. God has written His thoughts down in His Word. If you are gifted to teach, you are gifted to take those words and make them come alive to His people in such a way that you frame doctrine, you frame truth in their minds in such a way that when they encounter a crisis, their knee-jerk reaction is to do what the Bible says, not what their feelings tell them. It's a powerful, powerful ministry, and it is a great honor. For the truth will make you free. If God gifts you to teach, and you teach, whether it's to one or two, a small group or to many, you are given the gift to make people free, to equip them to think biblically. So when they face a crisis, it isn't how I feel, it's what does the Bible say? What have I been taught? What have I learned? And that is the issue in the end. It is a supernatural ability to frame doctrine in the minds and the hearts of God's people. And you then are given the honor of being a part of the legacy of the Church of Jesus Christ. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, he said, "All things that you have heard from me," his teacher. He said, and you've heard them among many witnesses. We've done this all over the place, Timothy. "All things you have heard from me, I want you to now commit these to faithful men who will be able," and that is a spirit-given enablement, "able to teach others." So if you're given the gift, you are given the rare honor of being part of the legacy of Christ being passed on from generation to generation. You're given the honor of passing on the way to do it, if I could put it that simple, to those who are given the same supernatural gift from God who come along behind you. What an honor to pass the baton to the next generation. Somebody who will be doing it long after you're gone. And so the gift is used on many levels, but it is by the Holy Spirit for the glory and the honor of God. Let me give you a few practical thoughts for those who will be called to teach, some observations. And by the way, if you know someone who's called to teach, you might want to pass this message on to them. And every week as we go through the gifts, we're going to hit on a number of you. So all of us benefit, and we pass it on. Some practical observations, and really I could go all day with this because this is what I do, but some practical observations. The calling brings the enabling. That's the first thing. The calling brings the enabling. This is absolutely critical because the gift involves all the motivation that is necessary in your heart. If God calls you to teach in the body of Christ and that is what you do, then you will do it until the day you go to be with Christ. Does that make sense? If you're going to teach, then that means week after week, year after year, month after month, day after day, you will be preoccupied with the Word of God in a fresh way. It means that you won't just give a message here or there, but that week after 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 week, the people come, they sit down, and they expect you're going to open your mouth and God is going to talk. Every time. That means you need the right motivation every time. That means you need the right stick-to-itiveness to sit down and stay in that chair with an open heart until the job is done every time. Week after week after, you got the point, right? I don't need to do that part again. So with the gift comes the motivation necessary to take you to the finish line. Such an important thought. If you have this gift and you exercise it right, you will be preoccupied all the time. People that live with you need to know that. If you're called to preach full time, you will be of all men most preoccupied because you'll always be thinking about your next message or the next three, however many times you preach, or the next eight. That's why Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "Timothy, you need to meditate on these things." And then he said this, "And you need to give yourself entirely to them." So if you bumped into Timothy in life and you said, "Let's go play ball," he might not be able to that time or that day or that moment because he must give himself entirely to these things. In other words, Timothy then immediately has a life that's not, quote, normal when viewed by others. You may have been called of God, and he may have you placed in life as a plumber. He may have you placed in life as a doctor. He may have you placed in life as a computer worker. He may have you placed at your post in life as a carpenter. But if he places you to preach the word full time, it will consume your life. You must give your life to it. Paul said this, "One thing I do." He was a man of one book. Paul says to Timothy, "Now as you come along behind me, you give yourself entirely to these things." Why? Because your progress needs to be evident to all. It's been well said that no congregation can ever rise above the level of the one that's teaching them. That is true. I believe that. That is a heavy, heavy burden that I bear before God. It is a fearsome thing. It is an awesome thing to know that no congregation can rise above the level of the one teaching them. If you're called to teach, you remember that, because you are a critical part of that process. The calling brings the enabling. The enabling, then, to go a little further, mandates a cultivation. It mandates a cultivation. The gift needs to be cultivated. It's the kind of a thing where it's as good as your walk with God at any given time. If you're called to teach, your teaching is as good as your fellowship with God at any given time, and as hard as you work with God. And it should grow and it should deepen with the years. Cultivation. How many of you were in track in school growing up? Nobody in track over here? Everybody over here is very athletic. What's the matter? What do we got over here? But in track, you know, if you're familiar with track at all, you're familiar with the term raising the bar. To me, one of the greatest things to watch, I never could do it because I was always fat. But one of the greatest things to watch was the high jump. I did the low jump because I was fat. How big of a dent can you make in the thing on the other side? Biggest dent wins. But for real high jumpers, to raise the bar is the ultimate thing. Well, God raises the bar as you go along. If He's gifted you to teach, He will raise the bar. He will raise the bar for you personally. He'll raise the bar in terms of who you speak to. And you have to realize that. You cannot just get up and ramble and expect God to bless His Word, because His Word is alive and inspired and anointed. If you don't work hard and you're called to teach, if you don't seek God and you don't really walk with God, what you're going to give is not clear, well-framed doctrine. You will give fuzzy doctrine. In other words, what you impart to people will not be a crystal clear image of Christ. It'll be fuzzy. A mist in the pulpit is a fog in the pew. If it's not clear to you, it'll be totally unclear to the people you communicate it to. Now, here's the bottom line result of that. Jeffrey B. Wilson said, "A truncated Christology forms the foundation of all false teaching." A truncated Christology forms the foundation of all false teaching. In other words, if your teaching is, if God calls you to teach and it's not clear and it's not biblical and it's not centered on Christ, you will form in the minds of your hearers a truncated Christology. That's why if I talk to someone, they say, "My pastor's a great communicator. He's really funny." "Yeah, does he teach the Bible?" "Well, the Bible. He mentions Jesus occasionally. But he's really funny. He gets us all really going." Well, then you have a congregation with a truncated Christology. They have a blurred understanding of who Christ is and what He expects from what He's given. And that is the foundation of false thinking being able to take a foothold in your mind. And that is where the devil builds his strongholds in your mind. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are strong and they are mighty to the tearing down of strongholds. And those strongholds are strongholds of false and deceived thought, which comes from a lack of clarity in the mind about who Christ is and who you are. You are a sinner. Christ is the Savior. You are sinful. God is holy. And so clear teaching is critical to that. Otherwise, there's room left for false thinking and deception and false doctrine. That's why if you're called to teach, it is a high and a holy and a lofty calling. That's why James says, don't rush in to be many teachers, because you will be held accountable before God with a stricter judgment. Don't drop out now, you children's church teachers, because I said that. Just realize this: to whom much is given, much is required. But much is given at the same time. I realize I will stand before God and I will give account for what I have taught you. That causes me to get on my knees and pray before I come out here. Lord, I must decrease. You must increase. Because it has to be Him. A truncated Christology forms a foundation of false thinking. So there must be a cultivation of the gift so that you make Christ as clear as possible to the people. In 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul said to Timothy, "Therefore I remind you." Why did he have to remind him? Because we forget. Let's face it, we are all human. How many are human here today? We're all human. And we are forgetful. We get going on our own thing and we forget who we are as Christians. Paul says to Timothy, don't forget who you are and what you do. Therefore, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. The NIV says, for this reason I remind you, fan it into a flame. Timothy, come burning into the pulpit with the Word of God fresh in your heart, freshly applied, with God freshly experienced. It's not the idea of make sure you teach. It is the idea of make sure you are knowing Him and you are knowing the Word. In 1 Timothy 4:13, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. And the word that comes across to us as give attendance is proskeo in the Greek. It means a continuous giving of attention to. Timothy, be constantly giving yourself to what is necessary to really feed the people of God. That sweeps in the whole of the life. Thomas Guthrie says the verb implies previous preparation in private. If you're going to teach, you're going to have to cultivate the gift with prayer and study. I find it fascinating that Jesus came to this planet. God came to this planet, lived here for 33 years or so. 3 years was public ministry of preaching and teaching. If you read the Gospels, you will find that Jesus teaches, is very careful to teach his disciples how to pray. They came and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray in Luke. And he taught them in Luke, and he taught them, Matthew 6, he taught them, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then he teaches them how not to pray. He said, don't be like those that pray in front of people, like the Pharisees. So, Christ is very clear to teach how to pray and how not to pray. But if you read your Gospels again, you'll find he doesn't teach them how to teach. He teaches them how to pray. And then he says, follow me. So, you follow him and you pray, and as you follow him and you learn from him and you pray, if you're called and gifted to be a teacher, you will know how to teach by following him. The other night, I was with Pastor Raul Reese. He was with you here Thursday night. And with his wife Sharon. And Raul is a kung fu master, and he is a master of kung fu masters. So that the masters come to him. We're not just talking black belt. We're talking masters are those that have gone to the highest degree of black belt. Then they've gone on and on and on with the years and the experience. And then there are the masters of all the masters. Well, that's what Raul is. Don't ever get him mad. Especially if he's backslidden. But here's the point. We were talking about it. We were talking about his teacher and how disciplined he was. And the point is this. Sharon said, one thing about Raul, he's always wanted to be exactly like his master. And Raul's master in Kung Fu was Jimmy. And in the end, Jimmy's wife said, when I watch Raul, I think I'm watching Jimmy. Well, Chuck's master that he wants to be like in Christianity is Chuck Smith. Raul's master is Chuck Smith. If you've watched Raul from a young man to where he is now, he's becoming more and more and more and more like Chuck Smith. And Raul was sitting right there. He said, that's right, Daniel, seriously. He said, I want to be like Chuck, man. That's it. I mean it. And I remember there was a point in his life where he took me aside and he said, I want to be like Chuck. I'm changing the way I study. And I thought, oh, here goes that discipline that went into the Kung Fu master. If he's going to, he means it. And you see it and you feel it when he teaches. The student becomes like the teacher. So as they followed Jesus, they became like him. But what he taught them was to pray. And in following him, they learned what he taught, and they were then gifted and sent forth to teach as he did. And they prayed as he did. You see, at the heart of it all is the fact, again, this is a spirit-given, supernatural, God-given ability to effectively communicate the truth in a way beyond normal. And what it does is it brings a stability to the minds of your hearers that enables them to think in such a way that the only thing that's unstable in their thinking is an area where the Word of God is not crystal clear. See, the Word of God is so crystal clear on so many issues that if you're taught right, when you face a crisis, you think in Bible. You've got that doctrine framed in there. If you're not taught right, you think by feelings. So what you do in teaching right is you enable a person to have solid, godly reactions to temptation and crisis and pressure in life. And the end of the thought is, what does the Bible say? That's what I'll do. Not how do I feel? Let me take my temperature. It's what does the Bible say? So that the only place left that's open to any kind of instability that's subject to change is where the Bible's not crystal clear. And that is where you have opinions that are subject to change. Otherwise, what the Bible does for you when it's taught right is it gives you the ability to think the way God would think, the way Christ would think, the way you need to think to stay in fellowship and stay blessed and stay free. And if God calls you to do it, some of you He will call to do it full time as a pastor. He's already done that. Sent out different people from our church to do that. It's going to take long hours of your life. Know that going into it. In Acts 6:4, the apostles took care of the problem with the widows, assigned some guys to it, and then they said, we will give ourselves continually, notice the order, to prayer and the ministry of the word. It has to be continually. In 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul said, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them. You cultivate the gift by giving long hours to it. So let me sum up so far by saying, if God calls you to be a missionary and teach, or to teach children, or to teach publicly, or to teach full time, it's the Holy Spirit who's called you. Recognize that. Take it seriously. Take your life seriously and realize you have effectively lost the luxury of living like everyone else and turning your mind loose like everyone else and walking by feelings like everyone else, because you have become a channel through which God desires to speak, through which God desires to change the lives of the people that listen to you. And you count and you are important and you make a difference. And you give long hours to it. You give your life to it. You cultivate it. And you get better as you go. Now, how do you know if you have the gift? How do you know if God has given you the gift of teaching? Well, let me say a couple of things about this. Your inclination may be sitting here today to think, well, God will never call me to teach because I'm shy. Well, wait a minute. What if He's called you to teach, but that's the way you think every time you hear a message like this? Are you ever going to teach? No. Let me tell you something. If God supernaturally calls you and gifts you to teach, whatever you have been naturally will be irrelevant, because the calling is the enabling. And to me, if I was sitting in a message like this and I was 16 years old and I heard this message, I would say, that's the gift He'll never give me. That's the one I don't have to worry about. So I'll kind of sit back and doodle until He's done, and maybe next week we'll hit my department. But you see, God has a sense of humor. Look at, He's got me standing, you're all staring at me. So He takes a shy guy and puts him in a fishbowl for life so people can come by and. And after a while, it's irrelevant, because what is relevant and what matters is what He's gifted you to do and called you to do, and that is the only thing that will fulfill you. And so don't count yourself out if you're shy. In fact, you're high on the list as a candidate. Why? Because the Lord delights to show His strength in our weakness. A few other thoughts. How do you know if you have the gift? Well, how is the Bible when you read it? The gift is a supernatural ability to read the Bible, understand it, embrace it, rightly divide it, and then impart it on a level above average. That's the gift of teaching. How do you know if you have it? Well, how's the Bible when you read it? How many are old enough to remember Jiffy Pop? All right, how's the Bible when you read it? If you've been given the gift to teach, your Bible's going to be like that. You'll be reading along, boom. Read a little farther, boom, 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 oh, wow, oh, boom. Ooh, that was good. Boom, 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 boom. Hold it, Lord, slow down. That's a sign you've been gifted to teach. If you read along and you're going, got to be a hot spot here somewhere for work. It's Monday morning, Lord, hurry. Well, you're probably not called to teach. See, with the gifting comes this ability, and it's God. If you open up the Bible, it opens up to you. And that isn't to say you don't have to work hard and study and read and all of that, because you will, but that is really the first thing to look for. Then look for God to open a door for you, and if He does, He'll nudge you through it. Kind of the come up, He'll put the come hither on you. That's what I call it. Exactly, that's what I call it mentally. He puts the come hither on you. So that here you're going through your life and somebody says, hey, I can't do my study tonight. Can you come and fill in for me? And you're thinking, pum, 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 pum. You're thinking, well, I don't know, I'm a shy type, but pum, 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 it's going on in your mind. And so they're saying, come on, just tell me yes or no. All right, I'll do it. And then you get there and you're nervous because you're shy. But in here, you got pum, 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 pum. I'm on the coffee percolation thing. He will put the come hither on you and He'll open a little door. You just say yes. You just keep seeking Him. You walk in the Spirit. You look for Him to work in that way. And then you give yourself to it and start thinking down those lines. Lord, if you're going to have me doing this, then really confirm it. And then go to your friends and ask them, do I have the gift? The people that listen to you, they can tell you. If God gives you the calling, however, be careful to build up a reservoir by reading a lot and thinking a lot and praying a lot. And find an example you can follow. Somebody who you really love to listen to, there's probably a reason. You really love their style, there's probably a reason. And then take them as your model and follow them. Paul said, I'm sending Timothy because I can't come. And he will give you what I would give you if I was there. That's how much he'd become like Paul. And finally, cultivate a life of holiness. If God's called you to teach, that doesn't mean perfection, it means direction. It means that you give your life to things spiritual and divine, and you exercise yourself unto godliness. And don't be fooled into thinking that God will bless your teaching, because the Word of God is alive and active and powerful no matter how you live. Because it doesn't work that way. If you're called to teach, then you're a channel for God's truth. And if you live a holy life before God, it's a clean, clear, golden pipe through which His truth can flow. And if you live an ungodly life, you're a blockage. And it will affect it tremendously. What it will do is it will take away the anointing. And the anointing takes away the staying power. So that the difference will be, you may give a good sermon, but it won't last very long on the heart. If you're called to teach and you do it as a vessel of honor unto the Lord, as opposed to dishonor, you will give messages that will last in your hearers' minds. You will present a clear Christ to them. And it comes down to this. It's a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit, that is cultivated by your walk with the Spirit, and is as good as your walk is with the Spirit right now. Confidence before God, a clear conscience, will lead to clarity in your teaching, and God's blessing on your teaching. I call it being blessable. Blessable. I want to end with what Charles Spurgeon had to say on this. He said, "How hard it is sometimes to state a fact which you perfectly understand yourself in such a way that another man may see it." He said, "It's like a telescope. There are many persons who are disappointed with a telescope because whenever they walk into an observatory and put their eye to the glass and they look through it, all they see is a bit of glass and a grain of dust or two. But, says the astronomer, when I look through here, I can see Saturn and its rings and all of its glory. Why can't you?" The difference is the difference in the eye. And if that person will be patient and not leave the observatory, but let the astronomer, adjust the focus, then they too can see the glory of Saturn rings and all of that and the beauty of God's creation through that same telescope. What Spurgeon went on to say was this: so it is with language. He said, "It's a sort of telescope by which I enable another to see my thoughts." He said, "But I cannot always give them the right focus." He said, "Only the Holy Spirit can give the right focus on the truth." And that's it. Teaching is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It begins with Him. Teaching, when it's done right, is brought into complete focus to your heart and your mind by Him. We rely on the Holy Spirit from beginning to end with the gift of teaching. And when it's all done His way, it comes into focus, and what you see in a fresh way is your Christ, who loves you so, who died for you in your place, who's given you a different life so you can live freely, and so you can know the truth and be free indeed, and you can share the truth and set the captives free. Let's attend to Him now in prayer. Father, we come to You. We thank You for the gifts of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for those You've gifted to teach among us. We pray, Lord, You would raise them up and that You would bless them with power and clarity and use them. We pray for our own ears, that You would guide us to listen to the right teachers. And we pray for our own hearts, that we would be open, moldable, and living wholly before You, that we can receive all that You have to pour into us and out through us. Make us holy, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.